Community Corner is brought to you by JN Foundation, impacting communities through innovation and inspiring Jamaicans to find a way.
Oh, I know a place we can carry on. Oh, I know a place we can carry on. Come children, we must carry on now. We can carry on, yeah. We can carry on. Oh, yeah. People like you need people like me and you. And people who need to be free, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I know a place we can carry on. Hey, I know a place.
Come again, Dr. Jemot.
Thank you ever so much for having me, Professor Shepherd, and good morning to your listeners.
I wanted to ask you if in your research you found out anything about the resistance to oppression of the people of St. Elizabeth.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I could speak firstly to their participation in the Stamp Sharp Rebellion. In fact, the people of the parish, uh-huh, the enslaved of the parish for the most part, responded well to Sam Sharp's call for protest. And this was supported across the parish, especially on properties like Ginger Hill, Mahogany Hall, Eldersley, Union, Vauxhall, and YS Estate, where significant damage was done. There was an interesting exception, though, which the narrative also presents. And this exception occurred on Appleton Estate, where for some reason, the head driver, who was described as elderly, he used his influence to promise his overseer that the enslaved would continue to work despite the call for resistance. And he was able to get some of the enslaved to continue working. As a result, the research indicates Appleton was spared significant damage and loss. But the strike action, as you know, and it was fairly widespread across the parish. In the end, 73 were put on trial, 42 received whipping lashes, and 14 enslaved people. 14 persons were executed.
You know what I found when I looked at the list that you were looking at?
Yes.
It seemed to me as if most of the women who were punished for their role in that war came from St. Elizabeth. I don't know why.
Yes. That's an interesting point.
I'm wondering if it's because you talked last week about the fact that the economy was diversified in some way, because it wasn't only sugar plantations, but there were lots of livestock farms. And the regime on livestock farms would be a little bit different, more, you know, slower than on sugar plantations. And I'm wondering if they had more time to plan, you know, and organize themselves. I mean, this is we still have to do some research on that. I found the same thing in, not necessarily with women, but Barbados, where in the 1816 war, the war seemed to have started, not necessarily 1816, but it did seem as if the Scottish district, you know,
yes,
which did not have sugar, seemed to have had participation in these protests. So I think something needs to be looked at. But were there others, for example, even up to the 1930s?
The parish also was affected in several ways by the 1938 labor disturbances across the island. In 1938, the resistance and the participation in the labor disturbances, which were island-wide, also affected and included St. Elizabeth. The strike actions and the protests, though, was not engaged in by everybody. So, for example, you'd find that the owners of shops and stores who had more to lose, they, of course, in Black River, Balaclava, Santa Cruz, they were forced to shut their businesses down, and in a sense, they lost. But the working class took matters into their own hands. They protested by blocking roads. They cut telephone wires. And wherever there was resistance on the part of store owners, they forced the shutdown of stores and shops to make their point, you know, that they were entitled to equitable work conditions and wages paid in a timely fashion.
Interesting that you mentioned that, because during May we are, you know, airing some of the testimonies, the evidence given before the Moyne Commission.
Yes.
The math of the labor protests. And today, in fact, I believe we are going to be hearing from, or starting to hear from, Bustamante. So it's very interesting. Did you come across that he went to that parish to, you know, kind of encourage the laborers to protest?
Not in everything that I looked at. I did not come across that. But I do know that the workers who were on the ground were very much in support of what he was encouraging them to do, which was to get justice and to get a fair working conditions and treatment. Mm-hmm. After his physical presence, I never came across that information.
Oh, okay. You know, you always have, even going back to when you spoke about the 1831-32 war and what happened on Appleton, you did have, you know, other plantations on which the same thing happened. So we have never really had unity on these issues in Jamaica.
That's quite so.
Yeah. And now you tell me about St. Elizabeth and the 1938 protests, 38, 39, and the same thing happened. So this is our history. And we have to remember that many of our people initially did not even see themselves as quote-unquote Africans, you know. They came from different ethnic groups in their country, you see. So you have Igbo, you have Yoruba, you have Akan, you have Fanti, and that's how they saw themselves. And then you had the missionaries dividing people into Moravians and Baptists. And from my reading, and I know St. Elizabeth has a lot of Moravians.
Oh, yes.
And the Moravians, from what the records say, the testimonies of those who were going to be executed, they say that the Moravians hardly participated in that war. So it's interesting to pursue that. But finally,
yes,
if one were to, well, I have been to St. Elizabeth, but let's say you're talking to people who have never been. They want to come there and they want to see the historical sites. What would you say those historical sites are? And then would you say that they are, you know, African retention, like dances and so on? Did you come across anything like that, the presence of African culture in St. Elizabeth today?
Okay, all right. Very, very quickly. Of course, I cannot go through a comprehensive list of the historical sites in St. Elizabeth, but certainly for persons wishing to visit St. Elizabeth and Black River in particular, Black River is the site of a monument to the most unjust action taken against a group of enslaved people. The Zong Monument, I'm referring to the Zong Monument in Black River, which stands as testimony to memorialize the lives of 130 Africans whose lives were deliberately snuffed out by the captain of a slave ship. The slave ship was the Zong. It was en route to Black River. The main reason why he had them dumped overboard was because he wanted to lighten the load to keep within the regulation numbers to collect insurance. So 130 Africans were dumped overboard while alive. And the Zong Monument really is meant to memorialize these people who never got a chance to ever voice how they felt or voice anything and to experience the rest of their lives. So the people of Black River, St. Elizabeth, and all of Jamaica will remember them. And we remember them. When you visit St. Elizabeth, Black River, make sure you pay a visit to the Zong Monument. Culturally speaking, though, I would say also that Akampong, in fact, northern St. Elizabeth, and in particular the village of the Maroon settlement of Akampong, they are like the guardians of African traditions, particularly from Ghana, African traditions in their purest form. So, for example, Mayal, which, you know, involves healing an ancestral ancestral worship and the Gumbe drumming are all guarded and practiced in Northern St. Elizabeth. So in terms of African retentions, that part of the parish is very strong where that is. I'm not sure how widespread the adoption of these traditions are, but I do know that every January persons from across Jamaica and indeed from internationally from international sources also come. They flock.
Yes, they flock here. It's on the calendar.
Yes.
Yes, and the colonel, you know, I have a compound visa. The colonel has visas, yes.
I need to talk to you then.
I have an compound visa. I can go up there without paying for the visa and for the trip. I'm just joking about the trip. Of course, I have to pay to reach here by myself. But once I get there, and the colonel always makes sure that because of my visa, I can get in. I do have a little problem with how they market these days, because you see more plastic goods and imported stuff than locally made. And I really hope they change that in the future. But
it's a contradiction of what they really stand for.
But this is what I'm saying, you know? So, and each time I take visitors up there, meaning if somebody come and say, Vereen, carry me with you, you know, they always say, but I want to buy something made of calabash. I want to buy an abeng, you know, something that looks like a beng, some carving. I think maybe I bought the last abeng purse because I have not seen it again when I was there this year. But Jenny, finally now, when people come to St. Elizabeth to enjoy the food, the ambience, the culture, look at the historical sites, pay respects at the Zong, where do they stay? Because to be honest with you, I find St. Elizabeth is a little bit lacking in places to stay, hotels, and maybe they have small places, but are there hotels there?
Well, I'm glad you went to that point, because in a sense this underscores the fact that the parish really, it has tourism, but it's tourism of a different sort because of the variety of natural habitats in St. Elizabeth. You'll find tourism moves away from the typical sun, sea and sand offerings, and they gravitate more towards ecotourism, natural habitats and what have you. Therefore, tourism does exist, but to a different beat. It's more laid back. It's more in keeping with nature. And this allows me to segue into your question, which is, you know, the all-inclusives and the big hotels that you may see on the North Coast and elsewhere, they're really not a part of St. Elizabeth. And in a sense, I don't know if the Minister of Tourism plans to change that, but I know that where Treasure Beach is concerned, this is a deliberate move. They move to a different beat. They are more laid back. They have hammocks. They have simple guest houses. You mentioned guest houses.
Yes.
There are little villas and guest houses all along the South Coast. Jake's Treasure Beach, of course, comes to mind, and others.
Yes.
And, you know, this is the sort of atmosphere they deliberately promote. In fact, I found it interesting. There are no nightclub noises, because guess what? Nightclubs are not allowed at Treasure Beach. So there's booming music.
Yes, yes.
There's community life. There, you mentioned the Calabash International Literary Festival.
Yes,
every
yes.
year, and people from all around look forward
yes.
to that. Not just the literary greats who come, but they also have open mic session where anyone from the community or visitors can, in fact, you know, share their literary ideas.
I don't think it's a negative at all. I quite like what you have told me, and I quite like the kind of tourism in St. Elizabeth, and I hope they never change it, because I try to avoid those all-inclusive and that kind of tourism myself, and I like tourism in St. Elizabeth. I did stay at a guest house myself when I went there. I just think it's lovely. But your closing comments?
Doing this research on St. Elizabeth, writing up the history, and finding out all that I did, because I really did not know much about St. Elizabeth at the outset. I fell in love with the parish, in terms of its people, what they stand for, And as I mentioned to you at the outset, I really have to visit Treasure Beach because I like the philosophy and the sort of all-inclusive, well, forgive the use of that word, but the all-inclusive philosophy that they have. But everybody counts. Everybody in the community is important. And, you know, they have all sorts of community activities to ensure that the fishermen, the children of the fishermen, everybody really benefits from community assistance, scholarships, etc.
Thanks again. This has been wonderful. When you come back, which parish are you going to tell me about again? What are the parishes?
Well, Portland. It's Portland
and St. James.
Portland and I think St. Catherine after Portland.
Okay, good. Thank you ever so much. Thanks to JN. And again, just repeat where people can find this account of St. Elizabeth.
Okay, so in the near future, COVID allowing us to do so, once the photographs are taken of the various sites in the parish, persons can go to historyjamaica.org. History Jamaica, one word, .org, where all the parish histories that have been done are uploaded.
Well, thank you, and we'll talk again.
Thank you for having me, as usual. Thank you. It was a wonderful experience.
Thank you so much.
And keep safe, all of Jamaica.
I hope you're enjoying the Jane Parish histories. I think they're just fascinating. Let me just welcome a few people who have joined on Facebook and sent me messages. I'm in studio looking at Errol Campbell's greetings. Yes, good morning to you, Michael Forbes. Yes, I know you're listening from and watching from East Harlem. Paula David from St. Vincent and the Grenadines. I think I greeted you already. And who else joined since I... John Campbell... First time tuning in. Oh, welcome, John Campbell. He says, I love history. Sabrina Grant, good morning. Vivian Peter, good morning. Earl Allen, where are you listening from now, Earl? Did you tell me? And, he's calling me my ambassador. Well, in a certain way I am, you know, because of the UN work that I do sometime. And, Vivian Peter, you're saying a whole heap of something. I mean, I read everything. But anyway, thanks for engaging. When we come back, we pay tribute to Freddie from some of his friends and admirers and family.
We can carry on.
Community Corner was brought to you by JN Foundation, impacting communities through innovation and inspiring Jamaicans to find a way.